I got a particularly interesting question to ask you this afternoon. Are you worried about the garlic and the onions, or can you wait for the milk and honey? Now, that's an odd one, and if you'd asked me that about a week ago, I wouldn't have had any idea what you're talking about. But there's a passage I want to read here in just a minute, and it'll let you know what the garlic and the onions is all about. What this is, I'll just kind of give you a little background. This is a lesson about home. I got to thinking I'd like to do a lesson about home. I'm a homebody. I like to be home. It's just where I'm comfortable. It's just where I like to be. And many of you might be the same way. I'm just not adventurous. I like to be home. And I thought I need to make a lesson on how we need to have heaven as our home. And as all lessons go, they end up changing a little bit. But what I came up with instead was garlic and onions. So we'll read about that in Numbers chapter 11. It says, "And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them, that they were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses. And when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again, and said, Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic." Now who this is? This is the children of Israel. This is years and years. I'm not sure how many. I would guess somewhere in the neighborhood of maybe 20 years after they've left Egypt. I'm not real sure on that. Actually, it could have been less, could have been more. And they start complaining to Moses. Now this is obviously before they've entered into the land of Canaan. And they're getting tired. And apparently they're hungry. And it talks in another verse about what they're eating, but they say, "We want to go back into Egypt where we have the garlic and the onions. But we had some good fish in Egypt." And we'll read later, and these people here, that what they came from is they came from bondage out of Egypt. How soon they forgot. You know, a bunch of times the promised land that's talked about that they're supposed to inherit is described as a place flowing with milk and honey. And yet they're worried about going back to the garlic and the onions. They're worried about cucumbers. We're going to go through, and I think the best way to kind of tell this story is to go back over 644 years earlier to Abraham. And what I do is I don't have any of these scriptures up on the board for the most part, so if you want, you can follow along. I'm going to read out of here mostly. I only have three or four verses on the PowerPoint this afternoon. But from that moment that I read in Numbers, you go back around somewhere in the vicinity, and all these years that I'm going to be given this afternoon are all approximately. We obviously don't know any of them for sure. But if you go back 644 years earlier, you find a promise that God makes to Abraham. Abraham was born somewhere around the year 2165 BC. And as we know, God makes a promise to Abraham in what is expected to be around the year 2090. Abraham was 75 years old. We do know that for sure. And that promise is made Genesis chapter 12, excuse me. It says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran." So we see here this promise that God makes to Abraham. It's an interesting promise. You know, it said there that Abraham, he left his home. Here's the promise that God made to Abraham, and here's just what I felt were kind of the high points. God makes a promise to Abraham that he's going to get a land. He makes a promise that he's going to make out of Abraham a great nation, that his family's going to multiply, and he says that every person or every family upon the earth is going to be blessed if Abraham will fulfill this promise. And in return, God wants him, he wants his faith, he wants his trust. He expects Abraham to leave his home, to leave everything he knows in order to obtain the rewards of this promise. And for the sake of this afternoon, the land from God, I just want to call it a home. A home that Abraham can have. So we see here that Abraham, it said that he was 75 years old. I think of a 75-year-old, I think of somebody who's probably, for the most part, pretty set in their ways. At age 75, you probably have a routine ready. You probably know what you're going to do that day when you get up. I don't know. Abraham lives to be almost 200, but I assume he's pretty set in his ways. I can just picture Abraham leaving home, though. You know, and here's Sarah asking 100 questions on why they're leaving. And then here is his nephew Lot playing video games, wanting to know what's going on. Why are we leaving? And I can just see all the questions that they have and why they want to know. And the fact that it changes their life completely. You know, we've lived here for so long and now God wants us to leave. And I won't read it actually, but in Genesis chapter 12, just shortly after Abraham leaves, it calls Abraham there a sojourner, meaning that he's a stranger, that he's a pilgrim. That he doesn't have a home. And it's all because he's searching for this home. He's searching for this land. He's searching for the reward of this promise that God made to him. Abraham's life at this point has changed completely. And we'll do a lot of fast forwarding. We're going to fast forward 100 years here or more. Abraham passes away at the age of 175. We're not going to go read about that. But we know that some things happen in between there. Abraham and Sarah, they don't believe that they can have a child because of their age. God gives them a child anyways. His name is Isaac. And we're going to read about Isaac in Genesis chapter 26 for just a couple verses. In Genesis chapter 26, in the second verse says, "And the Lord appeared unto him and said, Go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will bless thee. And I will be with thee and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father." He continues on to finish making this promise. The same promise that God made to Abraham. He extends that promise to Isaac. We can read there a couple chapters later, the son of Isaac, or Jacob. God extends that promise to Jacob as well in Genesis chapter 28 in the 13th verse. "And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land wherein thou liest, to thee will I give it and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, north, to the south. And in thee and thy seed shall be all the families of the earth be blessed." So God makes this promise to Abraham 100 years or more before. And then he extends this promise from Abraham to Isaac and to Jacob. It's something that he wants to be fulfilled. It's something that the people need. And we're going to fast forward quite a bit more now to Joseph. Now we're going down the line here. And if you didn't know, we have Abraham and his son was Isaac. Isaac has a son named Jacob, or later named Israel, which is where we get the children of Israel. And one of Jacob's sons was Joseph. We know that Joseph is said to be the favorite son of Jacob at one point, or in some different words. It says that he loves him more than the other sons. We know that because of that, his brothers become jealous. They fake the death of Joseph, and they put Joseph into slavery. Fast forward some more, and Joseph ends up in prison. And then we remember the dream that Pharaoh has. Pharaoh has this dream that there's going to be 7 fat cattle and 7 skinny cattle. And the 7 skinny cattle come along and they eat the 7 fat cattle. And he has the same dream about 7 ears of corn. There's 7 fat ears of corn and 7 skinny ears of corn. And the 7 skinny ears of corn come along and they eat the 7 fat ears of corn. And he doesn't know what this dream means. And finally they find Joseph. And he's able to interpret this dream to mean that there's going to be a great famine that comes into the land. And that Egypt needs to prepare for it. Joseph says that they need to save up all the grain, all the food, and all the resources they have for these next 7 years, because the 7 years after that are going to be very tough. They're going to be very hard. So we go into this famine, and Jacob, which is Joseph's father, and his family, his brothers, they become hungry, as everybody did. And they start searching for food. They're hungry as anybody else. And finally, Joseph comes into contact whenever Jacob's family comes into Egypt. Some other things happen. And anyhow, Joseph makes a spot for them in Egypt. Pharaoh gives some of his brothers a job. They have things, they have food to eat, they have jobs to do, they're going to be taken care of. And this is still the children of Israel. These are the same people that God made that promise to. I want to note that God's promise, even to this point, hundreds of years later already, is still important to the descendants of Abraham. It's still important. In Genesis chapter 47, we read again there about Jacob, briefly, in the 28th verse. In Genesis chapter 47, verse number 28, says, "And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years, so the whole age of Jacob was 147 years. And at that time drew nigh that Israel must die, and he called his son Joseph. And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and deal kindly and truly with me. Bury me not, I pray thee, in Egypt. But I will lie with my fathers, and thou shalt carry me out of Egypt, and bury me in their burying place. And he said, I will do as thou hast said." That's Joseph. And Jacob makes him swear to him. And Joseph swears that he will, once Jacob dies, take him to the burying place where Abraham and where Isaac are. And we'll go ahead and read, I guess, there in Genesis chapter 50, a similar account for Joseph, the son of Jacob. Genesis chapter 50 in the 22nd verse, it says, "And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw," he's talking about his children here, and then verse number 24, "And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land that which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and he shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt." Now, the reason I read this is because I think it's important to our study this evening. This promise is still very important to Jacob. It's still very important to Joseph, even at the time of their death. They very, very assuredly knew that they were never going to make it to the promised land that God had promised them. Physically, they knew they would never make it there. They're lying on their deathbed, and what's the one thing that comes to their mind? They want to make it to the promised land. They're not worried about being buried in Egypt. They say, "We don't want to be here." Jacob makes Joseph swear to him that he'll take up his bones from wherever they're at to wherever Abraham and Isaac are. Joseph says the same thing. He says, "I want to make it to the promised land." So hundreds of years later, this promise that God made to Abraham is still important to the descendants of Abraham. It's still important so much that's what they're worried about on their deathbed. We continue to fast forward, not much here actually, and Exodus chapter 1, we read about, these are now the children of Israel, as you could define them. They're the sons, the family of Jacob. They begin to multiply according to the promise that God made. They go from 3 to 70 here in this time span, and then much more after this. So we started off with Abraham and Lot and Sarah, and now they're to 70 people, as we'll read there in Exodus chapter 1, verse 5. Says, "And the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. And the children of Israel were fruitful, and increased abundantly, and multiplied, and waxed exceeding mighty. And the land was filled with them." In verse number 13 it says, "And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter, hard with hard bondage. in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. And there's some other verses there that say similar things. And this is going to go hand in hand with the first verse that we read, in that the children of Israel didn't have a great life in Egypt at this point. A verse that I didn't read is that there's a new Pharaoh in Egypt. Joseph didn't know him, and basically the family had no more perks of being in Egypt any longer. And the Pharaoh there soon gets worried about how fast that the children of Israel multiplying. I suppose he feels threatened by them. And he says that they need to get rid of the children of Israel. They put them into bondage. They put them into slavery. And all they do is succeed. All they do is begin to multiply more and more and more. So we fast forward a little bit more to the third chapter of Exodus to read about Moses. Starting in the second verse, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight while the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of the Father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmakers, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherein the Egyptian oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." And we know that there's things that happened to Moses before this, but after that, Moses eventually leads the children of Israel out of Egypt. So we've covered a lot of ground here, and I hope that it makes sense here in just a minute. The point I want to make is that this is 644 years, roughly, after God made the promise to Abraham. And in another 40 or 50 years, the children of Israel will make it into the land of Canaan. 644 years later is whenever we see this verse that we read earlier about the garlic and onions. And like I said, there wasn't a huge amount of time. I believe, no doubt, they're the same people that Moses took out of the land of Egypt that were complaining about the food they had. They were complaining and wanting to go back to Egypt. You know, it just boggles me that these children would rather be in bondage than to have had faith in God, than to have believed that God was going to give them the promised land. This promise that was made 644 years ago, that God is still going to fulfill, and they're losing faith at the worst possible time. And as I said, near 700 years is whenever the next generation ends up receiving the promised land. So what would Abraham have thought of this? You know, if you could have told Abraham that you're going to give up everything you have, everything you know, everyone you know except for your wife and your nephew, you're going to get on a cart with only the bare essentials, not knowing where you're going or how long it's going to take you to get there, and you're going to leave home, and you're going to wander for 100 years, and you're going to die never receiving that promise. And then your son is going to journey for hundreds of years and never receive that promise. And then his son is going to journey for 147 years and he's never going to receive that promise. And then his son is going to journey for 110 years and none of them are ever going to make it into the land of Canaan. But he said the promise still extended to those descendants. Your family can still make it into that land. And then you tell Abraham that they're on the cusp of going into the promised land, and his descendants would rather go back to slavery. They'd rather go back to bondage. I don't imagine Abraham being very happy about that. I don't imagine Joseph being very happy about that, and he's the closest removed from the situation. They're right here. They're the children of Israel. I guess you could call them in a way the chosen people to inherit the land of Canaan. And they're right here. They're on the cusp of it. They're just about to go over the hill and see the land of Canaan. And they want to go back to slavery. And they want to go back to bondage. And they want to go back to garlic and onions rather than go into the land of milk and honey. What it comes down to is they lost sight of home. You know, whenever God made that promise to Abraham, he says, I'm going to give you a land. I'm going to make you a great nation. Everyone's going to be blessed. You know what Abraham saw? You know what the promise that Abraham heard is? He made a promise of home, a place that I can be, a great place, a lot better than this. And he could see home in the distance. And you know what? He made that promise to Isaac. And you know what? Isaac could see home in the distance. And Jacob could see home in the distance. And Joseph could see home in the distance. Moses could see home in the distance. And here we are. We're right on the cusp of it. And they want to go back to Egypt. Who knows why they'd want to eat a cucumber? And the point is, we face the same circumstances today. There's so many similarities between us today and the children of Israel then. Now, thousands of years ago, we're no different. We have a promise from God that God has made to you and to me. We have a past that's full of misery, that's full of bondage, that's full of slavery. And yet we still choose to go back into slavery. We still choose bondage. We still choose Egypt over the promised land. A promise from God. I just got a verse or two here. In John chapter 14, it says, My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You know, there's a reason we're called the children of God. We have an inheritance waiting. We have that home waiting. We have this promise waiting. Let me tell you, it's no different than the promise that was made to Abraham. It's made to you. That we have a place that's waiting for us. We have a promised land. And we have a past that's full of misery and sin, just like the children of Israel. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto to death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Folks, we are the children of Israel today. We have a past, just like they had the past in Egypt. And we have a future, just like they would have had that future in the promised land. And you have to make that choice today. Are you going to turn back into slavery? Are you going to turn back into bondage? Or are you going to continue on with the promise that was made thousands of years ago? So I want to ask you a question. What is home to you? You know, as I started thinking about this lesson, I started thinking about what I felt home was. And as I said, I'm a homebody, so my range of home is fairly narrow. But when I think about home, the first thing that comes to mind is the house I grew up in. It's when I think of home, that's what I think of. You know, I spent a lot of nights where I wasn't in that home. I spent a lot of nights a mile up the road. But no matter what, at the end of the day, I knew I wasn't home. You know, in the last 4 years, I spent quite a bit of time at Canyon. And I think another way of home, it can be a general area that you just feel, you know, comfortable in. And for me, that's anywhere east of Briscoe and anywhere west of Allison. I feel at home whenever I'm in between that range. And I'd come home on the weekends, and I never felt like I was home until I got on the east side of Briscoe. And it's like, okay, yeah. I'm home now. And that feels like home. Now you think about Abraham. Thinking about home. Where was Abraham's home? If you'd asked Abraham where home was, well, he said, well, 100 years ago, whenever I lived, is that what he would have said home was? I promise it's not. I promise that wouldn't have been home for Abraham. If you'd asked Abraham where home was, he would have pointed to the future. He would have pointed to the promised land. And we see with the children of Israel later on that there are things that can pull us away from home. There are things that will get in the way of us, of our goal, of our heavenly home. This can become evident in Luke chapter 8. We read the parable of the seed and the sower there. And verse number 11 it says, "Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, for which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring forth no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience." Now it may be that we've been talking about the children of Israel for the last 20 minutes, but whenever I read this, I think of the children of Israel now. They were people, they had heard the promise. It's not like they had no idea what the promise was. It's not like they're out there wandering in Egypt and all across creation for years, not knowing what they were doing. That promise was extended for generation to generation. But they heard the word, they were choked with the cares and the riches, the pleasures of life. And they lost sight of home. They lost sight of where they needed to be. One more, I forgot about this one. Hebrews chapter 11. We're not going to read the whole thing, even though this is an excellent chapter to read about faith. What it can come down to is faith in a lot of ways. Abraham, to leave his home, had to have taken a great amount of faith. It had to take a great amount of faith for them to believe that they would have a son. It had to take a great amount of faith for Isaac to continue this promise that was made to his father. And even so for Jacob to take on this promise that was made to his grandfather and Joseph, and so on and so forth. And that's what Hebrews chapter 11 talks about. It talks about that family. Now think of these verses that we're going to read in context with the children of Israel. The word faith is going to be mentioned 23 times in this chapter. We're not going to probably read all 23 times. But this chapter talks about the promise of home, if you think about it in that context. Verse number 1 says, Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Let's skip down to verse number 8. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should, after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. It says that Abraham got there through faith. Verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Verse number 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they say such things, declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now there is a desire, a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. Verse 21, by faith Jacob. Verse number 22, by faith Joseph. Verse 23, verse 24, by faith Moses. We read throughout this whole entire chapter, and it's a chapter about these children of Israel, starting before the children of Israel, all the way back to Abraham, because of their faith, because of their desire to go home. Knowing that in this chapter, again, it defines them as a sojourner, as a stranger, as somebody who doesn't belong where they are. Home is where the promise is. You know, I asked several people the last week or two, what is home? What is home? And they all say, well, home is where the heart is. And I say, well, that's great. Put that on a plaque on your door or something. But for this evening, home is where the promise is. Home is because of this promise that God made for us. Home isn't a house. Home isn't between Briscoe and Allison. Home is where the promise is that God made us. Now let's reread a few of these verses. Verse number 6, which I skipped earlier. But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. The scriptures say without faith it's impossible to please God. Without faith it's impossible to get that reward that God has set before us. It's impossible to redeem the promise. In verse number 9, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now you want to tell me if you'd asked Abraham where home was, he would have told you a place? He's going to point to a promise. He's not going to point to a place. Verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. 14 says, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And then all the way in verse number 37, there's a couple more verses there. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Verse 38 says, of whom the world was not worthy. The world wasn't a good enough place for Abraham. It wasn't a good enough place for Isaac. It wasn't a good enough place for Jacob. And it wasn't a good enough place for Joseph. And it's not a good enough place for you and me. It's not where we were meant to be. We have a promise of a place that we're supposed to be. Home is where the promise is. The same promise that God made to Abraham. Finally, in Matthew chapter 6, it says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. In verse 24, it says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. When I think about this verse now, all I think about now is no man can have two homes. Yeah, it's true, no man can have two masters. The scriptures plainly say that, but how easily could this scripture say no man can have two homes? No man can be going towards two different destinations. Let me tell you, Abraham only had one home. It's the same home that we need to have. We can only have one place that we desire to be. Only one promise that we have that can be fulfilled. And faith still works. Faith worked for Abraham. I believe Hebrews chapter 11 is a pretty good indicator of that. Faith worked for Abraham. Faith worked for Isaac. And I can go down the line 100 different times. But faith worked in the year 2090 before Christ. A promise was set and faith began working at that very moment towards the promise. And faith will work just for you in the year 2018. The same kind of faith that Abraham had. The same kind of promise that Abraham had. Which means that faith has been working. It's been taking people towards home, towards the promise that God made. Now for 4,000 years, faith has been working. Faith has been the only way to go home now for over 4,000 years. Now think about it. I asked a question earlier, what would Abraham have thought about the children of Israel? They wanted to go back to Egypt. You know, what are you going to think on the day of judgment? What is God going to think on the day of judgment if you live your whole entire life and then you decide not to look on the promise that He gave you? If you decide to come to the cusp of the promised land, and as the children of Israel, I forgot to read them actually, they look over and they send spies in and they say, we can't do this. It's going to be too hard. We'll never make it. They look back over how long they've been wondering, most of them, all of them, probably their whole lives. And they think, I can't go any further. Take me back to slavery. Take me back to bondage. Take me back to the onions and the garlic. Little did they know that just over the hill is a promised land. What are you going to think on the day of judgment if you trade in the greatest promise that was ever made for onions and garlic? How bad of a choice is that? Folks, we have this promise today, and I urge you to make the faithful point in your life to follow after that promise, just as Abraham did. I can tell you one thing for sure is you probably won't have to go after it for over 100 more years. That's the good news. The promise is right there. It's just over the hill. And we need to make the decision this evening to follow after that promise. The lesson is yours this evening. I hope that I've said something that can help you in your goal towards the promise, your goal towards that home that God has prepared for us. You know, I want to go home. And as much as I feel like I'm home now, we're not home. As comfortable as you feel here, as comfortable as you feel in your house, you're not home. And there's a place that God has made for us that's so much better. There's a promise that God made for us that's so much better. Don't you want to go home?